स्वत्यै नमः। पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्ताक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
This will start. 90. This is page 69. Maye vasakalam jatam.
मये वसकलं जातम्।
मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम्।
मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम्।
मयि सर्वं लयं याति।
मयि सर्वं लयं याति।
तद्ब्रह्माद्वयमस्म्यहम्।
तद्ब्रह्माद्वयमस्म्यहम्।
Just a few verses prior to this, I told you the most important part of the Upanishad is there. What is the most important part? It is where there is an equation between the absolute reality which is described in the Veda, in the Upanishads. What's the absolute reality described? But then there is one who is studying that description. There is one who is contemplating, pondering on that absolute reality. So it is not that one who is pondering on that absolute reality, he is separate and distinct and different and all that sort of thing. That equation is made between both of them. The one who is studying that reality is himself the reality. So, that duality is removed. The one who is studying and the thing which is studied, that duality is removed. That when that equation comes. And then, this is the conclusion, mayi eva, I am that reality. So in me, all things rise. Mayi eva sakalam jatam. Mayi eva sarvam pratishtitam. All things stay in me. Yeah? Mayi sarvam layam yati. All things again dissolve in me. Even if you start thinking of this at the very ordinary level of consciousness, you will see that this is also true. Because as far as I am concerned, I don't know anything about your mind, right? I only know about my mind. You can say the same thing about me. Really, I don't know anything about your mind. But in my mind, which I know, you are there. You are appearing in my mind as a thought. And other associated thoughts also, that you are 10 feet away from me. That is another thought. Oh, you're close, you're far. All those different thoughts. So, you're man, you're woman, you're American, Indian, Canadian, this, that. Oh, so many different thoughts all put together. And so, all those thoughts are there in my mind. I don't know if it is there in your mind, but I know for sure it is there in my mind. And those thoughts are arising where? In me only, isn't it? And they are made up of me. Because my nature is consciousness. Because any thought is only a modified form of consciousness. And I have thought about me also. this body means which I consider to be me. This body is mine is in. I have thoughts about all of them. So all these thoughts are arising in consciousness. All these thoughts are arising in me. So the whole universe is like that. So you are one thought, then the house is another thought, the microphone is another thought, the table is another thought. So how many countless thoughts are arising all in me? And thoughts are made up of consciousness. So in consciousness, or even a concept of an individualized me is rising in that consciousness. So all things like that in the universe rising in me, staying in me, dissolving in me. Because the thoughts come and go. When I turn my head, I don't see you anymore. So thought of you gone. Dissolved. When I turn back this side, again thought comes. Out of sight, out of mind. That you know. Amazing thing. So this verse is telling this thing. And the remaining verses which are there are all now in some way associated with, related to this nature of me. First, I am the substratum, the Aadhar of all things in the universe. All things rise, stay and dissolve in me. From the point of view of existence, if you think that same thing, all things formed, fashioned, molded out of existence, and they're molded into forms. Existence is molded into forms, but forms are the most sweet things in the universe. You know, forms are there; they're not there at the same time. They don't have any independent existence, really. I told you about that clay piece. No? You just remove clay. No form remains there. And form is the most wonderful thing. That form somehow conditions the clay. It conditions that clay because that clay prior to that was a clump. Now that clump of clay has become a dog. So it is the form of dog which has conditioned that clump into this dog, isn't it? Form has conditioned it. So while the form has conditioned the clay, it has really not done anything to that clay. Because if I remove all my atoms of clay and put them on the side, no form of dog is there. And I have my clay. It is still as before. So the form has this wonderful ability to condition something but yet not do anything to it. Like the blue piece of cloth that conditions the crystal ball which is sitting next to it. Or if the crystal ball is kept on this table, the ball will look red. Crystal ball will look red, but really it never ever becomes red, isn't it? What they call a conditioning. The conditioning is such that it makes the thing appear in a certain way. But really, that appearance doesn't change the essential nature of that thing. It doesn't do anything to it. So this is from the point of view of existence. So all the things which are here, which we are seeing, is nothing but existence conditioned by these different forms. But the forms have really not done anything to existence. Existence is the same. And that existence includes me also. It's a wonderful thing how Brahman has formed this world, but Brahman, nothing has happened to Brahman. So if we see, this is the answer to all the big questions which you have in Western religion also. What about, how do you explain evil in the world? But evil is on the same footing as good. Because the both are made up from the same existence. And those, that evil and that good, that has really not changed the existence into evil or good. You just conditioned it. A condition, I told you, is not a real change. You see? Now that is a big question. People have all, everywhere you go, they ask, you mean in God all the evil things are going on? I mean in God all the good things are going on too, but both the things are on the same footing. They are just conditionings, which really doesn't change the essential nature of God. God remains. That God in me. That God is you. That God is everything. This is Upanishadic teaching. That principle, that reality is described. I am being described now. You can say I am being described, but that reality is being described because both are one and same. See how nicely it is. Pure Upanishads. Pure Upanishadic terms. Of course, what else? This is Upanishad.
Anoraniyanahamevatadvan.
Mahanaham Vishwamaham Vichitram.
Puratanoham Purusho Hamishah.
Hiranyamayoham Shivarupamasmi.
The
reality, which is myself only, is being described in contradictory terms many times. Contradictory terms are used in the Upanishad as a method to take our mind beyond the limitations which we know. We'll see just now. Anoraniya. It is subtler than the subtlest. Eva. I am subtler than the subtlest. Yeah. Similarly, Tadman, Mahanaham, I am vaster than the vast, greater than the great. So one is, subtle means fine, smallest. Arun, Anuraniyan, like atom, smallest of the small. And Mahanaham, big, not just noise that I am small, noise that I am big. That is to say, you see, your mind only operates with the currency. You know, when you go to Canada, you have to use Canadian currency. When you come to this country, you have to use American currency. And some places you go, you can only use their currency. So the mind can only operate in the currency of small, medium, large, extra large. That mind knows those things, isn't it? But this is saying, at the same time, I am small, small, tiny. And at the same time, I am. So, what happens there is the reality is being described then as all pervasive, pervading everything small and big. At the same time, reality is being described as that which is beyond small and big. We have to transcend those concepts of small and big, because those concepts are only mental constructs. And small and big, I tell you, everything that is there in the Upanishad from this absolute knowledge standpoint, also from the relative standpoint which we know, if you really analyze them well, small and big has absolutely no meaning even from a relative standpoint. No. See here. I don't know if you have seen, but it was being circulated on the internet. Some email came, somebody else said, very nice email. When you put our moon next to our Earth is much bigger than the moon. Far bigger. So Earth is big. You take the same Earth now and you put it next to our sun. Well, the Earth becomes tiny in front of our sun. So the same Earth which was big just now became small. When you take our sun with the Earth sitting beside, the Earth will be this size and the sun will be big like that. So now look at the two of them. Then they have taken, they gave slides like that. The next slide now, our sun is put next to some other suns in the universe, these stars, which we know. Our sun now becomes like this. Now where is the Earth going to go now? It's like a dot now. And they kept doing that and adding bigger planets which they know, bigger celestial bodies which they know, and they kept doing. And yet this earth disappeared. And you keep adding on this hand. So now earth is bigger what? What was considered big, now doesn't even fit ya? This is the truth about things in an infinite universe. In an infinite universe, it is absolutely senseless to call anything big or small, because that is only called big or small in relative terms. Now, when we study relativity like this and we realize even these ordinary concepts and words which we use every day, these words are all only true or right, correct, only within certain parameters or given certain conditions and all. Then I realize my language has this terrible shortcoming, my thought process has this terrible shortcoming. That itself should encourage me, better I transcend this all language and thought process and then go to something. So this is where the Upanishad is pointing to, that something beyond. When he said, I am smaller than the smallest, I am bigger than the biggest. The concepts and all fade, they disappear, because they all cancel each other as to Mahanaham Vishwamaham, I am this whole universe of small and big things that have evolved. Vichitram, oh, amazing how I can be small and big at the same time. And everything in the universe, I told you, because, like one of the days I was telling you, because we are all part of parcel of that reality, and that reality has its infinite power, we also have part of the power. So the reality is of the nature of consciousness, I am of the nature of consciousness. If I am part of it, I have to be of the same nature. And if it has power, I also have power. If it is Vichitra, then I am also Vichitra. Amazing. I am amazing. Yet I think I am nobody. Oh, I'm a sorry human being. Actually, study of Upanishad is the panacea for all ills, you know. Anybody has studies it well, all these different types of problems will go away. Psychological problem people have. Many people have inferiority complex. Some have superiority complex. Some are just complex. So all of these things will go away really. If I study this Upanishad well, my nature is amazing because I am part and parcel of that reality. Mahanaham Vishwamaham Vichitram. Supremely amazing. Puratanoham Purusho Amishaha. I am Puratanaha. Puratana is ancient. Ancient means that this is to take the mind beyond the concept of time. I have always been there. The Western world doesn't know how to think in terms of beginninglessness, because Western philosophy teaches about beginning all the time. Beginninglessness, the West doesn't know how to think about. Everybody's been ingrained with the concept of, at one time, misunderstanding and contradiction. At one time there was nothing, at a time was there. How are you saying at one time there was nothing? And then the world started. Time is part of the world or not? So then you know, at what time did it start? Time has to be pre-existing for it to start at a particular time, isn't it? You say it started at this time. The world started at this time. That means time was there. Then you say, no, but God created time first, then he created the world. Then you ask, at what time did he create time? All contradiction only in this concept of creation and beginning. So the rishis never accepted this beginning concept. The universe is beginningless. It is called anadi, ananta. Beginningless, endless. Puratanaha word to take us beyond that. Aham purushaha, I am the supreme purusha, supreme reality. Aham ishaha, the Lord himself. Hiranya Mayo ham, Hiranyamaya. Hiranyamaya means effulgent, bright. aham Shivarupam asmi, of the nature of auspiciousness itself. So the relative concepts are given to take us beyond the relative into the absolute. Could this be a nice example here of geometry and all? Say that in geometry you use, you know, A, B, C. We don't know point C. So they tell point C is 2 meters from point A and 3 meters from point B at this angle and all. At that angle. Then when you calculate, given the coordinates which you already have, you reach to point C. But point C is in no way related to point A or B. Point A or B were just given to find point C, like that. So, Anuraniyan, the smallest of the small, Mahanam Mahameva, and big and small are given to point to the thing which is beyond big and small, like that. They're just opposite concept given to reach there. Continues in the same vein. This reality, this vichitra, how apani pado ham hamachintya shaktih
apani pado hamachintya shaktih
pashyam yachakshus shrinom yakarnah
pashyam yachakshus shrinom yakarnah
aham vijanami vivikta rupah
aham vijanami vivikta rupah
nachasti vetta mama chit sadaham
nachasti vetta mama chit sadaham
apanipadha I am without panipada hands and feet. Aham achintya shakti, I am of infinite power, unthinkable power, immeasurable power, unthinkable power. Aham achintya shakti, my power, the power in the reality is beyond our thought. You know, when we see powerful things, we think, oh, how powerful is the Lord? But that is not. And remember, when we see any power in this universe, like when one person, I had gone to Niagara Falls with that person. He was going for the first time. And he says, my God, I don't want to see anything else in my life. I have seen, because he never seen such a powerful. But the best one is the plumbing student who just came out of plumbing school. And he went and saw Niagara Falls. He looked at it very inquisitively. And he said, I think I can fix it. But anyway, this gentleman saw this Niagara Falls and he said, my God, I don't want to see anything else. You've never seen anything so powerful. And I was just telling you that even that Niagara Falls, which is on the earth, and I just showed you how our earth also disappeared into nothing. Mm-hmm. So where is Niagara Falls in that? If the earth also disappears into nothing in front of other big bodies in this universe, where is this Niagara Falls? And there's this one speck on the earth itself. When you see a globe of the map of the globe like this, you don't see any Niagara Falls. That Niagara Falls doesn't fit here. If the earth doesn't fit here, what about this? And when we see that, we say, what a powerful thing. Oh, God, I have never seen anything so powerful in my life. So if that Niagara Falls, which is so powerful in our mind, doesn't fit here, think about the power of Bhagavan. The power of this reality is mind-boggling. Achintya Shakti, unthinkable power. That is how. That is the power that is lurking in our own heart. Pashyam yachakshuhu chakshanum yakarnaha. The Tulsidas has taken this line and put very nice choppa in Balkan. You'll see that. He says that he does without hands, he walks without feet. He hears without ears. Like that. In choppa form, he's put the same. So this reality, Pashyami, means I see without eyes. Pashyami, Chakshuru. Without eyes, I'm seeing. See, meaning what? See, everything which is going on in this universe is registering in Ishvara. Nothing in the universe happens without registering actually. In fact, it is said, science also says, that even though you may forget all that you see, somehow it is registered in your brain. You may forget it. Every single thing, huh? But it is registering. Because the brain is beyond, they say that we only use about 8% of our brain or something. 92% is just sitting there. So, the brain also, we don't understand its vastness. As it is registering everything, it is seeing, knowing. So, if our little brain is knowing everything, what is Isha? In reality, it's registering every single thing going on in the entire universe. And in without eyes, without ears. What a wonderful thing. Aham vijanami vivekta rupaha. I know all things. I know everything. Vivekta rupaha, devoid of any form. Yet I know everything. And nacha asmi vetta mav chit sadaham. But there are none that know me. I know all things, but there are none that. The idea is, the reality cannot be known. That we saw before. Reality cannot be objectified and known. The consciousness can illuminate pieces of things outside, but the consciousness cannot illuminate itself. It's just a consciousness, awareness. It cannot illuminate itself. And I gave you the idea of the space. This piece of space cannot know this piece of space. Because the both of them are one uniform, homogeneous reality. So this doesn't have any distinction from this. He'll have to distinguish himself first as a knower, and this will have to be distinguished as the known. Then only the knowing can take place. A homogeneous thing cannot know itself. Because in homogeneity, there is only oneness. There are not two, knower and known. Like that. So there is none that knows me. Because I am the homogeneous reality. That is the idea. Mama, chit sadaham, I am pure consciousness. Always. You see? Again, what I am. This all stemming from mai eva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishthita. All talking about me. Eh? The equation is now come on the other side. You're talking about the reality. Then the two are equated. Now we're talking only on this side. Because this student has to eventually give up his distinctness and separateness from the reality. So it's not like sometimes, this type of technique you will see sometimes in society and life also. If a person has, like, you know, when we have this strong attachment to samsara, right? So there's some technique, gradually I leave out samsara, gradually, relinquish everything. Or some technique will be there, not gradually. Damn, I leave everything when I go in the ashram. Leave everything or go someplace. So I was at one extreme. In order to combat that, I go to the other extreme. It's a very good technique. So we're talking about that reality and always seeing it as separate. Then we come to middle point. That reality and me, we are one. Now it has gone to the other extreme. Now only speaking about me, not the reality as something separate from me. Because my feeling of separation is so embedded and is so protracted, so it's been there for such a long time that I am, you know, separate from God and God is in the sky and all that kind of thing. It came through a long path of thinking that only. So now I have to think of the other extreme. In me, everything is there. I am everything. I am the reality. Which in fact is truth. It's truth also. I am that. I told you that in the final analysis, really, each individual is the measure of his universe. I am the measure of my universe. I am the final arbiter in my universe. You are all part of my universe. Who will be the arbiter? I am the arbiter of God also in my universe. Because God will be what I think, isn't it? If I think he has 10 heads, he has 10 heads. Like that. That is a concept in my mind. Then there will be nothing else for me. And then when I go deeper inside, I realize I am one with all my concepts and one with all things. So, the idea which is being given here, I am everything, everything is in me. It is not a wrong idea. It might be difficult for the student to comprehend. That is a different matter. But not wrong. And therefore, the student has to go on reflecting on this, meditating on this. That all things are me. Otherwise, this thing sometimes, is this people who come from outside and never studied it, they say, Swami, you Hindu people are crazy. You think you are God? Because of the concept of God which they have. That is like the little drop of water thinking, a little bit of water, or one wave, thinking I am the ocean. It means to say, I am the ocean, we are one, we are made up from the same thing and inseparable. So whatever is true of me, H2O, is also true of the ocean's H2O, is one and same. Like that. Whatever is true of the consciousness, which I think to be limited here, is also true of the absolute consciousness. And they can, two of them are only conceptually different, not in reality. I can think of a limited consciousness, absolute consciousness. That is concepts only. But this consciousness could never be separate from that consciousness. So from this point of view we are talking. Here again it says about me.
Vedairanekairahameva vedyaha.
Vedairanekairahameva vedyaha.
Vedanta kridveda videvachaham.
Vedanta
kridveda videvachaham. Na punya pape
Na punya pape mamanastinashaha.
Na janma dehe indriya buddhirasti.
Na janma dehe indriya buddhirasti.
This verse and a few verses we're going to follow, a couple verses following also. It sounds like a Nirvana Shatakam. Nirvana Shatakam, you all know. Atma Shatakam sometimes it's called. Na punya pape. Like that. Manobuddhyahankara-chittani-naham, what I am not and then what I am and all that. Aham nirvikalpo-nirakara-rupaha. So here, vedaihi anekaihi aham eva vedyaha. By all the Vedas, through all the Vedas, I am the thing to be known. All Vedas only, they are talking about me. See, my biography was written before I came. So they are all talking about. And that also is a wonderful key. Not only biography, it's autobiography. Because who is there only? Only I am there, isn't it? So who would have written it? I only would have written it. Since there is only one B. My autobiography is there. All the Vedas, they only have that me as their subject matter. Subject matter is me, Vedyas. Vedya is subject matter, the thing to be known. Vedanta krit Veda videva chaham. I am the one who is the originator of the Vedanta, the Upanishads. All the knowledge of the Upanishads. Vedavit eva aham. And I am the knower of the Vedas. I am the one who originated it. And I am the knower of it. Na punya pape mama nasti. Nashaha. I have no punya, no papa. No merit and sin. Nasti nasha, imperishable, no destruction for me. Na janma dehi indriya buddhi asti. No birth, no deha, no body, no indriya, no buddhi. I didn't realize that you didn't have any buddhi when you were talking like that. But he's talking about the consciousness. It means to say, the body, mind, intellect, which has conditioned the consciousness, really has not done anything to the consciousness. That is the idea. The consciousness still remains as consciousness. Like the clay could very easily say, I have no dog in me. Clay has dog. But if you take out the clay from here and put it here, you should see the dog there then. If clay has dog. Take out, you know, molecule by molecule and put it there. Then you look there. Where's dog? No dog. So clay doesn't have dog. It may appear to have dog here when it is in dog shape. May appear to have a dog. So the consciousness may appear to have body, mind, intellect. But the reality it is, it has no body, mind, intellect. Therefore it is last. Na janma dehe indriya buddhi rasti. No. And then the consciousness or reality also appears to be taking birth. It's being born here and born there. In fact, when we say I am born, if, from a relative standpoint, if you really give some thought to it, you will see that we were never born. Relatively also I am talking about. Because that jiva who is coming there, he's not born, he's coming from China. Because everything is coming from China only. He's coming from there only. He was there before. So how you say he's born? He's just migrating. That's why it's called transmigration. He's coming from there. He said, no, but Swamiji, the body is born. But that body is made up of physical stuff. Isn't it? All physical stuff. Not only physical stuff was there because matter is neither created nor destroyed. So the body is made up of all physical things. Atoms. Or food. Let us use the easier word, food. The body is made up of food. But if food was there in some form, then, from that point of view, you just do some analysis, you see he's not born. So na janma. All these nice words are there. Huh? No birth also. Yes, we have. Na bhumirapo na cha vah niraste.
Na bhumirapo na cha vah niraste.
Na cha nilo mesti na chambaram cha.
Na cha nilo mesti na chambaram cha.
Evam viditva paramatma rupam.
Evam viditva paramatma rupam.
Guhashayam nishkalam advitiyam.
Guhashayam nishkalam advitiyam.
They also in Nirvana Shataka are telling you, na bhumi rapo. There, all the elements are negated there. Here all the elements are negated. I am not any of these elements. What bhumi, earth, apaha, water. Na cha vahni asti. Na fire. Nacha anilaha wind me asti nacha ambaram space. So it goes in the reverse. Then we say space, air, fire, water, and earth. Here is earth, water, air, fire, air, and space. It goes in the reverse like that. I am none of them. I am none of them, and none of them are really in me. In clay, there is no dogness. There is just clayness only. In existence, there is only existence. There is no of the other things. Although the other things appear there. Evam viditva paramatma rupam guhashayam nishkalam advitiyam. Having known this, I assume my paramatma rupa, the supreme form, which is formless form. Which is Guhashayam. Guhashayam, I told you that. Guhashayam means in the cave of the intellect. Deep inside of me. Those points or words again I use the deepest part of my personality. Going where I cannot go further. Deeper and deeper inside, where I cannot go further. That is Guhasha. The cave of the intellect. Because it's with the intellect only I'll go inside. And go. And transcend that same intellect also, which I am going with. And then I cannot go anymore. When I transcend, because I'm using the intellect to go. And then when I transcend the intellect itself, then what I will go with and who will go where? That is called Guhashayam. Paramatma Rupam. Nishkalamaham Advitiyam. I am that partless reality. Partless means stateless also. Phaseless. Partless and phaseless, stateless. That reality. See, right now I'm a state of sadness, state of happiness, state of misery. So different states and phases I go through. Huh? In a very jovial and happy phase. Huh? One lady is asking another lady, "Do you wake up grumpy in the morning? Do you wake up grumpy in the morning?" She said, "No, I let him sleep." But that was not the question she was talking about. But anyway, but sometimes he had grumpy phase. They call it a kala also. Kala means phase also. Kala means part. If I have no parts and phases and moods and that kind of thing, you know, grumpy mood and that kind of thing. I'm homogeneous, oneness all the time. Some people say, that is boring. Brahman must be bored. If there is one thing, it's all the time the same, no change. If Brahman is bored. At the first, you have to have a mind. And know that you are bored. Now the mind has to be bored, and then in some one other part of the mind has to know, I am so bored. But if there is a homogeneous reality which is of the nature of pure effulgence and light, there is no one part to know that, you know, I am bored. There is just infinite power just there. An infinite power which is taking on this whole manifestation also, and then only to say, I'm bored. But there's only a drama playing with himself. But Ishvara is only playing a drama with himself. That's a wonderful thing. Nah? Then really know all these things which we so worry about. But it's part of the drama also. To do. Worry is part of the drama. If there is no villain in the movie, that movie is boring movie. Isn't it? So joy will be there, but worry has to be there also. Can you think if Rama and Ravan was not there? Ram will not come also. But what will he come for? And you go to see some movie and all, and no villain is there. I think how many times you see that hero, heroine go around that tree and sing two songs and that is all. What a boring movie to live in, isn't it? So the drama Bhagavan is playing has to take both sides, and then it becomes all interesting. Anyway, that in that homogeneous reality, there is this infinite power which can make him play this drama of pairs of opposites also. I don't think that the infinite reality is bored or anything. He's just pure effulgence, and then with no diversities to see there is boredom and there is one who knows the boredom and all that. From that point of view, there is no such thing. So I'm not any of these five elements, it's just one homogeneous reality. Nishkalaha Advitiyam. Two more lines on the bottom there. Samasta Sakshim Sadasad Vihinam.
Samasta Sakshim Sadasad Vihinam.
Prayati Shuddham Paramatma Rupam.
Prayati Shuddham Paramatma Rupam.
Samasta Sakshim. That reality is the witness of all things. And not witness in the... You see, you know, suppose it is soft, a soft surface. And you take this thing and you press it there to leave an impression or not. To leave an impression, let's say some plaster or something. And you press it to leave an impression on that, right? So this thing catches an impression of this when you press it in. But this thing doesn't make an effort to catch the impression. When you press it, this did not make any effort. Its nature is just like that. If you press anything, the impression will be left. Its nature is just to catch the impression. It doesn't have to say, oh, this thing is coming. I'm waiting. I want to catch that impression, you know. And I'll catch it and keep it for 10 days and then I'll release it. Its nature is just to catch the impression like that. So the nature of the reality is to catch the impression of all things, but it doesn't have to make any effort. It's that type of sakshi. It witnesses all things by nature, but it doesn't make an effort to do that like that. Everything registers in it automatically, in other words. It is the witness of all things. Otherwise, the sakshi concept is a very difficult concept to understand. Because what people say, if Bhagwan is sakshi, then he's a doer. But reality is a doer. But at the same time, we say reality is akarta. It doesn't do. And if he's witnessing, it means he's doing something. So I'm just giving you this example to show you that something can be, we can catch the impression of something else without doing anything. Catches an impression without being a doer. That is the idea. So I'm just give that example to show that point, because actually when you study it more and more, you see, remember, please remember one more thing. Don't think that today you have become master of Kaivalya Upanishad. By one lecture, okay, well, you don't become any master or anything like that. You have to go on studying, reflecting, pondering. When you see the sakshi concept, as you study it more and more, very difficult questions will come. How at the same time you're saying the reality is sakshi, he's a witness. A witness is always doing something, he's witnessing, and there's a verb or not. It's a verb. He's witness. At the same time, you say that the reality is akarta. He's a non-doer. But just now you use the verb and you say he witnesses. So I'm giving you an example to show you that it is possible for something to be a witness, means catches the impression, but without doing anything. He's a non-doer. I mean, that possibility exists, that he's a witness without doing. His witness means he saw. He got that. That thing registered, but Brahman did not do anything. Like he registered here, but this did not do anything. Like that. So, samasta sakshim is the witness of every single thing. Sadasat vihina. This very nice concept from Gita twice, in 9th chapter and 13th chapter. Bhagavan twice in Gita says, he neither sat. No, asat. Nasattan nasaduchyate. That reality is neither sat, no. But just now you only say it is Satchitananda. Why don't you make up your mind? The reality is Satchit Ananda. Here it says Sadasat Vihina. It is devoid of sat and asat. Then it comes. Sattana sadhuchatya. It is neither sat nor asat. So what we say from our standpoint right here where we stand now, because we are operating with body, mind, intellect. And our intellect only thinks in terms of sat and asat. Huh? This thing exists. So the sat, it is there, exists. So that's because our intellect through our senses and all, it knows it. Right? So it exists. The horns on my head do not exist. Because that's what our intellect is telling. asat. So this is sat, this is asat. But those are all intellectual concepts. So we use the same intellectual concept for Brahman now. So at one point we say Brahman is sat. Or when we go beyond the intellect, where the intellectual concept, how can you say Brahman is sat or asat? When you transcend intellect, then you don't have any intellectual concepts to use to characterize Brahman as sat anymore. From our standpoint, we characterize as sat, satchit ananda. But if you transcend that intellect, who is doing the characterization? Don't know how you'll characterize Brahman now. Oh, who will characterize? So nasat, natan, natat, asat, uchate. It is neither sat nor asat. From his own standpoint. See? From our standpoint, we say satan or lakan. So we can use those concepts. Prayati shuddham paramatma rupam. The one who realizes this, he goes to that pure state of supreme reality. Iti pratamaha khandaha, he said. That is the first section. Now there is a second section with two mantras also. The Gurudev says, really there is no second section, you know. But you find two mantras at the end there. So we see those two mantras also. See? This is page 89 now, I think. You have the same book as me. Ya shatar rupaya madhiyate adhite. Yat shatar rupa, yat shatar rudriyam. Go one word. Yat shatar rudriyam.
Yat shatar rudriyam.
Adhite.
Adhite.
Sogni putaha bhavati.
Sogni putaha bhavati.
Surapanat puto bhavati.
Surapanat puto bhavati.
Brahmahatyaputo bhavati.
Brahmahatyaputo bhavati.
Kritakrityaputo bhavati.
Kritakrityaputo bhavati.
Kritakrityaputo bhavati.
Kritakrityaputo bhavati.
Tasmat.
Tasmat.
Avimuktamashrito bhavati.
Avimuktamashrito bhavati.
Atyashrami.
Atyashrami.
Sarvada sakridva japet.
Sarvada sakridva japet.
Okay. So you could see immediately the theme or the tune changes as though. The ideas what we are talking about just now, nature of reality, so suddenly something else comes. So it really doesn't form part of the body of the Upanishads. Well, really, it is quite akin to what is called Phalastuti. Phalastuti, you know? It means it tells what really you will get if we really study this Upanishad well, which is preceded. We study it well. Yeah. Shatarudriyam adhite saha agniputo bhavati. I mean, the one who studies this Shatarudri. Now suddenly where Shatarudri comes from? So the idea is, Shatarudri is part of the Taittiriya Samhita, where 100 verses are given in prayer to Rudra. It's called Shatarudri. So we have not been talking about Shatarudri. This is one who studies the Shatarudri. He becomes purified by fire. There is absolutely no connection between. So the idea is this. This Upanishad is being glorified as Shatarudri. I mean, the Upanishad is being called as Shatarudri. I mean, it is doing stuti of the Upanishad. Because Shatarudri, it appears at that time, was very, very popular. A lot of people used to chant the Shatarudri and do that prayer. So it is telling this Upanishad is being called as Shatarudri. And so the one who adhite means studies. The one who studies this Shatarudri or this Kaivalya Upanishad, you know, it's like that. Sometimes the father calls the son father. Have you seen that?
Yeah, his son has a lot of dular and all, and he does everything for his son only. He says, he's my father. He's the boss. Like that. The father calls his son like that. He's my father only. I act only for him. The names are given many times like that. You call one thing by another name. So it is called as Chaturthi. One who studies it, he becomes purified by fire. Then, Surapana Puto Bhavati. He becomes freed from the sins of drinking Sura. Sura means wine. As if he has drunk wine and all in his past. Because what sin we commit, it is still there, right? So he becomes freed from any such sins of having drunk wine and taking intoxicants and drugs and all sorts of things. Then Brahma Hatya Puto Bhavati. He becomes freed from any sin of having even killed a Brahmana. The idea is, in all of this now, one who really studies this Upanishad and realizes the truth of the Upanishad. What truth? Mayeva Sakalam Jatam, Mayi Sarvam Pratishthitam, Mayi Sarvam Yati. He realizes that truth. He goes beyond all the sins. And no sins can touch that person thereafter. Even the gravest sin which is given here. That is the idea. The gravest is given. Kritya kritya puto bhavati. He becomes free from all things committed or omitted also. Freed from that. Tasmat vimuktam ashrito bhavati. He becomes freed and goes to a state where there is no more bondage. Atyashrami sarvada sakrit vajape. He goes to the supreme state of rest even if he does even little bit of study of this Upanishad. Okay. That halastuti ends in the next verse. Anena jnanam apnoti.
Anena jnanam apnoti.
Samsarar navanashanam.
Samsarar navanashanam.
Tasmadevam viditvainam.
Tasmadevam viditvainam.
Kaivalyam phalamashnute.
Kaivalyam phalamashnute.
Kaivalyam phalamashnute iti.
Kaivalyam phalamashnute iti.
Anena jnanam apnoti. By this, anena means by this, one attains jnanam, apati, attains knowledge by study of this Upanishad, one attains this knowledge. Here not intellectual knowledge is meant. Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. It means if I study this Brahman and I come to know this Brahman, I become Brahman. That knowledge is referred to. Anena, jnanam apnoti. He attains the supreme knowledge. Then what happens? Samsara arnava nashanam. There is destruction of this person's samsaric existence. This samsara comes to an end. The ocean of samsara comes to an end. Tasmat evam viditva enam kaivalyam phalam ashtute. He enjoys the state of kaivalya, one homogeneous state of existence. Having study this knowledge and realize the purport of the knowledge. Not just intellectually study the knowledge. Kaivalyam phalamashnute. He enjoys the state of homogeneous existence. This is phalastuti. Thus comes to an end this Upanishad. Ityartharvavede kaivalyo Upanishad samapta. In the end it says, thus ends this Kaivalya Upanishad, which is part of the Atharva Veda. We chant that first verse again. First line, page 9. Om Athashvalayanaha.
Om Athashvalayanaha.
Bhagavantam.
Bhagavantam.
Parameshtinam.
Parameshtinam.
Upasametyo vacha.
Upasametyo vacha.
Okay. Study it again. Go back, read Gurudev's commentary. It's very nice also.
study the ideas, concept over and over. You don't become a perfected Vedanta student in one class or two classes and all that. Kind. And that is why we have an intellect. So we can go back and reflect on it. And what you can do as you go along also, make some of the verses your pet verses. Pet verses, you know? Yeah, you really fall in love with those verses and reflect on them. Because, you know, it is like, if you take one drop of honey from the top of the bottle, or one drop of honey from the bottom of the bottle, it will taste all same. You will know what honey is, wherever you get the drop from. So you just take one or two of the verses, make them your pet verses and study them. So, well, Bhagavad Gita, kinchida Gita. Svalpam apyasya dharma, a little bit. Study it well. Others will also start making sense very easily. Ponder, reflect, contemplate, ruminate on these verses. And one Upanishad is, see, we take it, there are so many Upanishads. I have 256 Upanishads with me. People say 10 are main. There are only 10 if you take one. Under one if you take one verse also. Still all same. 256 to 10. 10 to 1. 1 to 1 verse. I tell you, it's better than that even. 1 to 1 verse. 1 verse to 1 word. If we study well. 1 word. Zeroing on that 1 word. Sukshma. Sukshmatara. Pasakshi. Any 1 word. Study it well. Is enough. Okay. We'll see then evening. Ramai. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.